Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of sitcoms. Later on, a broadcast of My Little Margie from 1955. But first, it's My Friend Irma with Marie Wilson and Kathy Lewis, a CBS broadcast from April 18, 1947.
The Columbia Broadcasting System presents a new comedy.
My Friend Irma.
Starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane, with John Brown as Al.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgotten, there will still be hot. My friend Irma.
You know, friendship is a thing that's been around all through the ages. Like measles. Measles you can get rid of, but not my friend Irma. Do you know something? I never want to get rid of Irma because I sincerely love that girl. So I'm going to continue to live with her through thick and thin, although at times it's trying. Now take, for example, when I was trying to straighten out our finances and fix up a budget for her. Naturally, I had to ask Irma a few simple questions. So I said, Irma, honey, how much money did you save last January?
None.
Well, that's silly. You worked all month. How come?
I bought a fur-trimmed coat.
Well, how about February?
I was still paying for the coat.
In March?
I didn't pay for the coat in March.
April?
In April, I paid a lawyer for getting me out of trouble for not paying for the coat in March.
Now, honey, please be serious. We've got to work on a budget so that we won't be in the position we were in last year of having to use up all our savings in order to pay our taxes.
Jane, we won't have to pay taxes this year.
Why not?
Because my boyfriend Al says income taxes are fad and it's sure to blow over.
Al said that?
Yes, and that's why he's not going to pay any this year. Instead, he's going to use the money to buy himself a new suit.
Irma, I've got news for you. If Al doesn't pay his taxes, the government will supply him with a new suit. With stripes.
Well, I hope they'll be pinstripes. Al looks so cute in them.
Well, honey, you forget Al. You know, there are other guys in this world besides Al.
Oh, I know, Jane, and one of the boys at the office sort of has an eye on me.
Really?
So I told him I like him, but my heart belongs to Al. But that didn't discourage him.
Why not?
He said he loved me for my mind.
Believe me, Al's got a better deal. Now, listen, Irma. My boss, Richard Rhinelander, is coming over later to take me out, so let me get together the rent money to pay Mrs. O'Reilly, the landlady. Huh? Now, what have we got in our cookie jar?
3 graham crackers and 32 cents.
Oh, well, I guess it must be in the sugar bowl. Yeah, here it is. 10, 20, 30, and I'll take $10 from my purse and $10 from your purse, and that'll be an even $50 to pay the rent with. And that's all the money we have in the world.
Jane, why must we take all our money and give it to Mrs. O'Reilly?
Well, because she's our landlady and she happens to own the building.
Well, if she already owns the building, what does she need our money for?
She needs it for overhead.
Well, it's a good thing to need it for. Our ceiling's been leaking for months.
Well, any way you look at it, we have to give her the money. Now, look, honey, if she comes up and I happen to be busy dressing, you know, you pay her the $50 and be sure to get a receipt. You think you can handle that?
Certainly, Jane. What do you think I am? Dumb?
Irma, I'm kind of sorry you asked me that.
Why?
I might have to answer it.
Ooh. Jane, do you hear someone knocking?
Yes. Yes, let's open the door. It might be someone we'd like to know.
Oh, no, we've got all the friends we need.
Oh, well, what's the use? Come in.
Hiya, chicken. Hello, Janie.
Oh, look, Jane, it's Al.
Yes, I know. The change purse in my pocketbook is quivering.
You know, Jane, it's lucky for you I'm not sensitive, or I wouldn't let you in on this big deal I got going.
Before you tell me about any new big deal, genius, what happened to the money we gave you to help finance that new washing machine invention?
Oh, that's going to be the biggest thing in the country. Do you realize it dries clothes, presses them, and sews buttons on shirts?
What about washing the shirts?
When we solve that, we got the whole problem licked.
Al, have you ever wondered why I keep picking on you?
No, Janie. But now that you brought it up, why do you?
Well, I sort of got a theory that everybody in this world should have some kind of steady employment. That seems strange to you?
Oh, I believe in it myself. That's why you are now looking at the manager of the next heavyweight champion of the world.
Who is he, Al?
Tiger McGurk. Girls, I'm telling you, the minute I laid eyes on the Tiger, I knew he was a champ. You see, I'm in this tavern over on 3rd Avenue, see? And I noticed the Tiger working there serving drinks. Well, suddenly there was a commotion because some no-good phony wouldn't pay for his beer. And the Tiger rushed in and threw the bum out on the sidewalk.
Gee, Al, did he hurt you?
Please, chicken. Now, girls, I can enter Tiger McGurk at the Elks Club in the preliminary. And all I need is a little capital.
Goodbye, Al. Your story has touched me. But you won't.
Oh, look, Jane, honey, am I the type of a guy...
I don't know what you're going to say, but you're the type.
But why are we standing here gabbing? By an odd coincidence, I just happen to have the Tiger right outside. I'll have him in, and you can look him over yourself.
Oh, now, just a minute, Al. We don't want any prize fighters in here. This is not an annex of Stillman's gym.
Oh, he won't bother you. He'll just come in and walk around quietly on his heels.
Sure, Jane. Let him come in. You're making a mole out of a groundhog.
Okay, you will now meet the one and only Tiger McGurk. I'll just whistle.
He answers that. His name ought to be Lassie McGurk.
You called me, boss. I ran all the way up the steps.
Girls, this is the Tiger.
The Tiger? From the pouch on him, he looks more like a kangaroo.
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance, Mr. Tiger.
Well, thanks, lady. Hey, boss, I'm hungry.
I told you, you mustn't eat before the fight.
Yeah, but 3 days before?
Jane, I think he's cute.
And I think we've seen enough. Al, will you please tell the Tiger to pedal his muscles elsewhere?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jane. He's just getting started. Tiger, would you like to skip a little rope for the girl?
Okay, boss.
Oh, I'll take my nylons off the clothesline, Mr. Tiger, and you can use that.
No, Irma, no. Mr. McGurk, please, this is not the place to... No, no. You're shaking the whole building.
Get a load of that floor.
No, please. Mrs. O'Reilly, our landlady... Please. Mrs. O'Reilly, our landlady lives downstairs. You'll crack her ceiling. Well, stop it.
Okay.
What in the name of heaven's going on up there?
Oh, dear. We're sorry we disturbed you, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Disturbed was it now? You realize the ceiling just came down, plastering all on me poor husband.
Oh, dear. Was he hurt?
No, but it's the first time he's ever been plastered on the outside.
Well, we won't let it happen again, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Well, you'd better not. Now, stop your moaning, dearie. I'll be digging you out in a minute. Girl, today's the first of the month. I'll be up for me rent later.
Oh, we've got it for you, Mrs. O'Reilly. Al, will you and Tiger McGurk please get lost?
Tiger, go down and run around the block a couple of times. I want to talk to the girls. Private.
Gotcha, boss. Well, so long, lady. See you later.
Good luck tonight, champ.
Bye.
Well, girls, what do you say? You want to back the Tiger and hop on the bandwagon?
No, I think we'll hitchhike and stay honest.
Okay, you had your chance. I withdraw my offer.
It's accepted. Irma, sweetie, I'm going to go down to the drugstore to buy some of that special perfume that Richard likes, you know. And now, if Mrs. O'Reilly comes up while I'm gone, here's the $50 rent money for her, and you'll be sure to get a receipt. You think you can handle it?
Certainly, Jane. Jane?
Yes?
Why don't we give Al the money for the Tiger? He looks like a sure thing to me.
Oh, honey, we just made out a budget which leaves no surplus for stray fighters that Al manages.
Yes, but Jane, what if he turns out to be another John L. Dempsey?
Irma, are you really dumb or are you just acting stupid?
I've got you over a barrel, haven't I?
Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming?
Wyoming? Isn't that silly? You know, Jane told me she was born in West Dakota. Al, honey, I'm awful sorry. I really did my best.
I know, chicken, but that's just me. Hard luck, Al. Here I got a chance to clean up on the Tiger, and I can't get a break.
Gee, Al, I wish there was something I could do.
Oh, you tried your best, kid. But you know, Irma, I don't really care about the money for myself. It's you I was thinking about.
Gee, Al, you're so sweet.
You see, I figured that if the tiger could win a couple of fights, it might be possible for you and I to walk down that middle aisle.
Together?
If you want it that way. But, Chicken, since we couldn't persuade Jane to give me the money, I can't enter the tiger in the fight tonight. So I guess we'll have to postpone our marriage for about 10 years.
Gee, Al, I wish I had some extra money. You see, the only money I've got is this $50 rent money, but I've just got to give it to that Mrs. O'Reilly. Oh, I'm so sorry, Al.
Don't let it bother you, kid. I understand. Hey, you know, Irma, that's just one of life's funny twists. Here you are giving $50 to a dame who's got a house and don't need the dough, and here $50 would solve all of our problems and make all our dreams come true.
Al, I have an idea. If I took the $50 Jane gave me and gave it to Mrs. O'Reilly and gave it to...
No, thanks, Chicken. I couldn't take it. But keep talking.
Well, don't you see, Al? If the tiger's such a cinch to win, you could return the money right after the fight. I'd pay our rent, and Jane won't have to know anything about it. Here, Al, honey, take the money.
No, no, kid. You might get in trouble with Jane.
Oh, she'll never know. Take it, Al.
Okay, Irma. Gee, you're wonderful. And believe me, you'll never lose by this.
Oh, I know, Al. I've got confidence in you. But just tell me one thing. Is the tiger really a great fighter?
Chicken, why do you think Joe Louis took up golf?
Making out our budget and paying our rent, I felt pretty secure. Just to play safe, I said, Irma, honey, did you take care of the rent money?
Yes, Jane, I took care of it.
So, financially, I was sailing on a cloud. And romantically, I was higher than a cloud because tonight I was going to go out with my dream man, Richard Rhinelander. He was due in a few minutes, so I decided to fill up the time by doing a little daydreaming. Which appeals to me because it's the one thing that Irma can't complicate. Now I'm dreaming that I'm Mrs. Richard Rhinelander III, and we're honeymooning on the beautiful French Riviera. Soft light, dreamy music. As we walk along under the stars, Richard takes me in his arms and says,
Jane, should I empty the garbage now?
That's Irma, jerking me back to reality. You know, I'm not even safe from that girl in a dream. Irma, what is it you want to know?
Well, should I empty the garbage now?
Irma, do you realize that I have just left the Riviera to talk to you?
The Riviera?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was wonderful. Wouldn't you like to take a trip around the world?
Oh, no, Jane, there's too many other places I'd like to see first.
Started tidying up the apartment for Richard, and while I was busy sweeping the dust from under the rug where Irma had swept it, I noticed that Irma was vacuuming in the hall. I said, Irma, why are you vacuuming in the hall? And she said,
well, I've finished in the apartment and the dust bag isn't full yet.
You know, it's amazing that a vacuum cleaner, which in most people's hands is merely a household gadget, in Irma's hands becomes a deadly weapon.
Jane?
Yeah?
I've got everything fixed up real nice for Richard's arrival. I put candy in the candy bowl. I put cologne on the paper flowers so they'd smell nice. And I've done something especially for you.
You did what?
I loosened the bulb in the lamp.
Why?
So that when you and Richard are sitting on the couch, all you have to do is nudge it with your elbow and the light will go out.
Oh, listen, honey. I appreciate what you're trying to do for Richard and me, but, sweetie, if you really want to do me a favor, please be careful what you say to him, huh?
I will.
You know, he'll be real proud that I managed to fix up a budget for us, because Richard, even though he's a millionaire, he believes in things like, a penny saved is a penny earned.
That's cute. I know one, too. Early to bed and early to rise makes me healthy, wealthy, and sleepy. Now, you give one to him.
Irma, I'm not playing games. I'm merely giving quotations that Richard and his father believe in. business principles, like never put off until tomorrow what you can do today.
Well, that's where they're wrong. I always put off until tomorrow what should be done today.
You do?
Yeah, I make a lot of overtime that way.
Well, don't let Richard hear you say that, huh? He might not understand.
Oh, excuse me. All right, Jane.
What's the matter with you, Irma? What are you so nervous about?
Oh, I'm not nervous. Just wish Al would telephone and tell me if the Tiger won.
Oh, who cares if he wins or loses? We didn't invest any money in him.
Well, I feel almost as if we had.
Oh, you wanted to, didn't you? But I wouldn't let you. Imagine Al. Imagine him trying to line up a sucker to back that broken-down fighter. Isn't that silly?
Yes.
You needn't get hysterical. It's not the most attractive side of you, you know.
Gee, I'm as nervous as a cat about to have puppies.
Well, take it easy, honey. We haven't got a worry in the world.
Yeah, you haven't a worry in the world. Jane.
Yeah?
Even though there's nothing to worry about, promise me we'll always be friends.
Oh, honey. Sure we will. I may be stern with you at times, and I just hate myself for it, honest, but believe me, there's nothing that can ever break up our friendship.
Don't worry, I'll think of something.
Come in. Hello, Richard.
Oh, hello, Jane. Irma, nice seeing you.
Won't you sit down, Richard?
Oh, thank you, Jane. Well, now, what have you girls been doing with yourself?
Oh, well, I've just finished putting Irma and me on a budget.
Splendid. Splendid. I think being on a budget is a smart economical move. I admire you, Jane, for having such a well-developed sense of financial responsibility. You girls have.
Thank you, Richard.
Yes, Dad and I have often discussed financial discipline at our board meetings. We feel that paying one's bills, taxes, or otherwise can help to combat inflation.
Yes, indeed.
You know, the new fiscal year of 1947 has a great potential in the direction of economic upheaval. Unless consumer goods stabilize the country, will have to be continued on page 19.
Irma, what is that?
I don't know. I never turned to page 19.
Well, it's getting late, isn't it? Isn't it? I think I'll get my hat, and then we'll be off, Richard.
Oh, fine, Jane. Well, Irma, you seem a bit preoccupied tonight.
Well, I'm worried about Al and Tiger McGurk. Al should have phoned by now.
Al?
Yes, you remember Al, my boyfriend? Well, he's managing a fighter, and there's a fight tonight, and, well, a lot depends on it.
Well, I must say that Al of yours is a very enterprising young man.
Oh, sure. Last year he had a racehorse.
Is that so?
Yes, he even had an invention that went with the horse.
An invention?
Yes, it was an electric circuit with live wires that went under the horse's saddle to make him run faster.
Well, that's unusual.
Yes, but something went wrong. The horse won the race, but the jockey was electrocuted.
And now your Al has a prize fighter.
Yeah, and can you imagine, Richard, he tried to get Irma and me to back him, but I refused. I said that we'd made a budget and we'd stick to it. Well, come on, Richard. We don't want to be late to the movie. Irma, honey, why don't you come with us?
No, thanks, Jane. I have to wait here for Al so he can tell me how the Tiger makes out.
Forget the Tiger. You act like you had money on him.
Yeah, don't I?
Come on, sweetie. Come on to the movie with Richard and myself. You'll like the picture. It's The Guilt of Janet Ames.
Thanks, Jane. I'll stay here with The Guilt of Irma Peterson.
Goodbye, Irma.
Goodbye, honey. I'm sorry you're not coming with us. We'll see you later.
Oh, gee, I'm so nervous. I hope Al comes back before Mrs. O'Reilly comes for the rent. Well, that must be Al now. Come in, Al. Oh, it's you, Mrs. O'Reilly. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, Irma, I just finished reading my horoscope. Jupiter's in direct vertigo with Saturn. And Sagittarius is just in back of Capricorn, leaving Aries near Pluto.
Oh, what does all that mean?
The rent is due.
Oh, is it rent day already? Well, it seems only yesterday that we paid you for last month.
It was yesterday, dearie. You were 30 days late. And now if I can have me $50, I'll be going.
Well, now, don't be in such a hurry, Mrs. O'Reilly. Now, come in and we'll chat a little.
Well, I don't mind if I do, Irma. I've got a sort of a soft spot in my heart for you two girls.
Well, what's new, Mrs. O'Reilly?
Well, Mrs. O'Malley had twins last night, and her husband...
Now, just a minute there. You're getting me off the subject.
Oh, I wouldn't think of doing that. Were they happy having twins?
Indeed not. They got too many mouths to feed as it is.
Oh, really, Mrs. O'Reilly? How many children do they have?
Oh, now let me see. There's Timothy, Patrick, Terence, and Dennis.
Care for some tea?
Yes, thank you. Robert, Thomas, Michael, and little Danny.
Sugar with the tea?
Yes, and a bit of lemon. And then there was little Joseph, Stevie, Kevin, and Philip.
She has quite a large family.
And then there's the girls. There's Mary and Maggie and Kathy. Those are the twins. They were all born under the sign of Capricorn.
Oh, what does sign of Capricorn mean?
Oh, that's the horn of plenty. Well, Herman, if you'll just give me the rent, I'll be on my way.
Well, Mrs. O'Reilly, there's something on my unconscious that I must get off. I gave the rent money to my boyfriend, Al, to bet on the tiger, a prize fighter.
Now, did you know?
So, could you please wait until after the fight for your money?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Why should I be waiting for my money when you've got a wallet truck full of money lying on the table there?
Wallet? Money? Oh, gee, gosh, Mr. Rhinelander must have forgotten it.
Well, now, isn't that convenient? Now, let me see. He has here 10, 20... Oh, $150. Now, if you'll just allow me to take $50 out of the wallet, we'll call the rent settled.
Oh, stop, Mrs. O'Reilly. The money doesn't belong to me.
Oh, come now, dearie. You're merely letting me borrow the money until after the fight.
But that's stealing.
Well, not if you put it back. Now, don't worry. Just say it to yourself. I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
Fine. You just keep saying that. And thanks for the rent. Goodbye, dearie.
I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal. Oh, but I am a criminal because it wasn't my money. It was Richard's wallet. Gosh, I'm sorry I let Mrs. O'Reilly take the money. It wasn't honest. Gee, I'm a criminal. I'm a criminal.
Hi, Irma.
Jane, I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
Irma, what are you mumbling about?
Oh, nothing. Hello, Jane and Richard. What are you doing back here?
Well, Irma, the funniest thing happened. When I went up to the box office to pay for the tickets, I found I didn't have any
money.
How did you know?
Oh, Al always pulls that one on me.
Irma, darling, what Richard means is that he might have left his wallet here in the apartment. Did you happen to see it?
I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
No one's accusing you, honey. I just want to know if you saw the wallet.
Well, Jane, let's forget about it. If Irma didn't see it, maybe I didn't leave it here after all.
Well, all right. Irma, if you should run across it, let me describe it to you. It was a brown pigskin wallet with the name Richard Rhinelander on it. RICHARDRHI.
Oh, you don't have to spell in front of me. I'm old enough to understand things now.
Well, Irma, you didn't see it, did you?
Irma, why don't you answer, Richard? Did you see it? Irma, this is ridiculous. Answer yes or no. And our friendship depends on it.
Yes.
Yes what?
That's my answer. You just fill in the question.
Please, Jane, maybe...
Now, you let me handle this, Richard. Irma, did you see Richard's wallet?
Come in.
Hiya, folks. Hello there, chicken.
Oh, Al, how was the fight? Did the tiger win?
No, chicken. But you'd have been proud of him. He established a new world record. 3.5 seconds of the first round.
You mean he was knocked out in 3.5 seconds?
No, he was back in the shower.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
You're sorry.
Getting back to our little discussion, Irma, I'd like to find out what happened.
Well, I'll be with you in a minute, Jane. I want to see Al in private first. Would you excuse me? Come on, Al.
What's up, chicken?
Al, promise me you'll write to me. And wait for me.
Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, Al, after I gave you the money, Richard left his wallet here and I... took $50 from it to replace the rent money that I gave you to bet on the tiger.
So?
So, Jane and Richard are back looking for his wallet, and I have it here, and I have to give it to him, and they'll find the money missing. Oh, Al, I'm a criminal. I'm a criminal.
Oh, honey, you're not a criminal.
No, I tried saying that. It doesn't work.
Look, honey, if that's all you're worrying about, forget it. Your Al will always take care of his little Irma. Here's the $50 to put back in the wallet, and here's 10 more for your share of the winner.
But, Al, where did you get the money? The tiger lost.
What do you think? I bet him to win. I bet against the bump.
But, Al, how could you be so sure he'd lose?
Kid, a guy don't win who hasn't eaten for 3 days and runs around the block twice just before the fight and don't have no talent to start with.
Gee, Al, you're a genius. Mr. Rhinelander, did your wallet have a zipper on it?
Yes.
Irma, if you're going to say leave your name and address, and if anything turns up, we'll write to you, I just don't know what I'll do.
No, I just want to know if Richard's wallet has a zipper on it.
Well, yes, it does.
Then this one must be yours. Here it is.
Well, yes, that's mine, Irma, but...
Why didn't you give it to him before?
Well, you didn't say anything about a zipper, and you have to be plenty careful these days.
Why, that's odd.
What's the matter, Richard?
Well, Jane, I had $150 in my wallet, and now I have $160. Where did that extra $10 bill come from?
Well, don't you get interest on all your loans?
So we left to go to the movies, the four of us. And all through the picture, I kept thinking... What is the connection between Richard's wallet and Irma? So, when we got home that night and were drinking our chocolate before going to bed, I said, Irma, what about Richard's wallet? And Irma said,
I'm not a criminal, I'm not a criminal.
Well, that's my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma was written and directed by Cy Howard.
My Friend Irma, on Tuned To Yesterday, from April 18, 1947, the second broadcast ever of that radio series. 2 years later, the writer of the series, Cy Howard, would pen a screenplay, which would end up being the film debuts of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And 3 years after that, My Friend Irma got its own TV series. You are listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for My Little Margie, a CBS broadcast from the 31st of July, 1955.
My Little Margie, starring Gail Storm and Charles Farrell, transcribed in Hollywood. Margie's father, Vern Albright, has a very responsible job with Honeywell and Todd investment counselors. His job is to see that his client's money is properly invested. He's just telling Margie about a new account that he landed.
Margie, this will be the biggest account I've ever handled.
Well, that's wonderful, Dad. Who is it?
A fellow by the name of Sam Stanton. I won't make any money on the account till I find some good investments for him.
Gee, if Freddie could only get a break like that.
Margie, why do you waste your time with him?
What's wrong with Freddie Wilson?
I don't have time to tell you now. I'm due back at the office in 3 hours. But in my opinion, Freddie is a stupid dunderhead.
Dad, that's awful.
Well, can you deny it?
No, that's why it's awful. But I think it's unfair the way you pick on Freddie. Someday he'll amount to something. After all, he's still young.
Age has nothing to do with it. Now look at young Henry. He ran an automobile into $1 billion. Now, what's Freddie ever done?
Well, he once ran a motorcycle into a fruit stand. Just missed a cop, too.
Hello, Margie. Mr. Albright.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Odette.
I'm glad you dropped in, Mrs. Odette. We were just talking about...
Freddie Wilson.
Yes. We were discussing...
His future.
Yes. Dad says he'll never...
Amount to anything.
Mrs. Odette, how do you know what we said?
I have been outside your keyhole for 5 minutes.
Mrs. Odette, why do you listen at our keyhole?
Why should I make yours an exception? After all, I'm the oldest tenant here, and I have squatter's rights on every keyhole in the building.
Well, if it makes you happy, I, for one, won't object.
Oh, thank you, Margie. Oh, but I've had such a busy day today. The building is jumping with gossip. I'm so tired, I can hardly keep my ears open.
Well, what's the latest dirt?
Well, that couple in 10B had a lulu of a fight last night. He came home a little under the weather.
Liquor?
No, she licked him.
Dad, getting back to Freddy. He's coming over to see you today. He wants to talk to you about setting him up in some kind of business. Come in. Oh, hello, Freddy.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Freddy.
Mr. Albright, I'm looking for someone to back me in business.
Dad, you said you had to find some investments for your new client, Mr. Stanton. Why not back Freddy with some of his money?
If I backed Freddy with my client's money, I'd have to go to a psychiatrist and get my head examined.
Well, then back him with your own money.
An excellent suggestion. Of course, Mr. Albright, you realize that you will be the junior partner.
Freddy Wilson, you're the nearest thing to a jerk.
I admit it.
You do?
Sure, I'm sitting next to you.
When were you born?
April 2nd.
A day too late. Dad, what do you say, huh?
I'll give the kid a break.
Gee, thanks, Mrs. Odets. I could kiss you for that.
Don't press your luck, Junior. What do you say, Mr. Albright? After all, someone must have given you a break when you first started.
Mrs. Odets, when I first arrived in New York, I only had $1 in my pocket. And you know what I did with that dollar?
He used it to wire home for money.
Yes, I used it to wire home for... I did not. I lived on that dollar for a whole week until payday. Well, I'll never forget. I used to walk to work behind a streetcar just to save a nickel.
Why didn't you walk behind a taxi and save 80 cents?
I merely told that story to emphasize the fact that there's only one formula for success.
Yeah, I guess there's no hope for me. I'll just drift along in the sea of life like a piece of flotsam and jetsam. Well, so long.
Oh, wait a minute, Flotsam. Never let it be said that Vern Albright refused to give anyone a break. Now, I'll tell you what. We'll find some business to go into, and I'll put up half the money.
Oh, Dad, you're wonderful.
We'll meet here this evening and discuss the details.
Margie, how about going to lunch with me and celebrate?
Are you buying?
Naturally. Where you're concerned, the sky is the limit.
Well, what are you going to buy her for lunch?
Well, my heart says champagne and Romanoff caviar with a dash of lemon.
Yeah. But his bankroll says root beer and hamburger with a dash of Tabasco.
Freddy, I thought you said the sky was the limit.
Well, there's a low ceiling today. Hi, everyone.
Oh, hello, Freddy. Well, let's get down to cases. Freddy, what are you prepared to invest in a business?
My time.
Well, don't you have any assets at all?
Well, according to the state, I've still got 8 unemployment insurance checks coming.
I'm talking about liquid assets.
Liquid assets?
Yes.
Well, I've got a bottle of 3 feathers that I've been saving.
What are you saving it for?
In case he runs into 3 bald birds.
Well, I've committed myself, so I guess this means I'll have to put up all the money.
The first thing we must decide is what kind of business to go into.
Let's look in the newspaper. There may be some attractive propositions under business opportunities. Let's see now. Apartment house, baby shop, bakery.
Bakery? Hey, there's dough in that.
Let me see the paper, Dad. Market for sale, printing shop, reducing salon. Hey, that sounds good. There's a lot of money in reducing. You can get rich off the fat of the land.
Hey, let me have the paper, will you, please? Yeah, thanks. Hey, here's something that sounds great. 1,000-watt radio station for sale. Station KREJ, located in East Northfield. Full price, $20,000, 10% down.
Yeah, but what do you know about radio?
What's there to know? You just turn a dial and there you are.
Dad, this may be a wonderful opportunity. A radio station is a good thing. I read that radio might replace the newspaper someday.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. You can't line your garbage pail with a radio.
No, and you can't swat a fly with one either.
Well, it's an established radio station, Mr. Albright. It probably just runs itself.
Well, I don't have time to go up to East Northfield and look it over. I've got Mr. Stanton on my hands. Now, Freddie, you run up there, and if the radio station is all the ad says, make a deal.
Oh, leave it to me. Gee, Margie, do you know what this means? If I become a success, I'll be able to ask you an important question.
What?
Well, I don't know how to put it, but... Well, I'm tired of coming home to my little room and sitting there all alone with four blank walls. I'd like to change that.
Why don't you? Get a room with windows.
Well, Mr. Albright, this is it. This is radio station KREJ, and it's ours, all ours.
Well, everything looks all right.
And this is the man we bought it from, Mr. Denton.
How do you do? And you'll find everything here in tip-top condition, the transmitter, equipment, and a very efficient staff of technicians.
Oh, that's fine. Now, tell me, how many hours a day is this station on the air?
It's on the air 24 hours a day.
Oh, that's great. And how much of the time is sold, sponsored?
Well, let's see. When the thermometer drops to freezing, we have a 30-second frost warning at 3 a.m. And that's sponsored by Smitty Smudge Pots.
Well, what does he pay for that announcement?
For Smudge Pots.
Is that all we have?
Well, at least we have one sponsor.
Yes, but when the thermometer goes up, you're on sustaining. Well, good luck, folks. Goodbye.
Oh, Freddie, you knucklehead. I thought you said this was a great proposition.
Well, I checked over everything, Mr. Albright, but I guess I overlooked one small item. The books. How stupid can I get?
Well, with you, the sky's the limit.
Margie, it's all my fault. I feel like committing suicide. Where's the best place to shoot myself?
In the chest. You're already dead from the neck up. Imagine buying a radio station without sponsors. There's no money coming in. How can we afford to pay the employees?
You can't. You'll have to fire all the announcers.
Well, okay, we will, but we'll keep Bob Lawson, the engineer.
What good is it if we don't have announcers?
That's true.
Well, we'll just have to split the work up among ourselves. The announcing and the copywriting.
Oh, boy, I can be an announcer and a copywriter.
How can you do both?
I've got a split personality.
You haven't got enough personality to split with anybody.
Hey, how about letting me conduct a quiz program? I'd make a good MC.
Yes, a mental case.
Now, come to think of it, there'll be so much work around here, we'll all have to pitch in. And we better start broadcasting right away.
Hey, Dad, I've got an idea on how we can attract business. Let's give some of the local businessmen free advertising.
I get it. If the advertising gets results from them, they'll be glad to pay for the programs the next time.
Exactly. Now, let's figure out some theme songs for the local sponsors. For Schimmelberg the Baker, we could sing Shortening Bread.
Yeah, and for the city pet shop, Trees. All right, everybody. Ready to go on the air?
Yes. And boy, are we nervous.
Oh, stand by. I'm flipping the microphone switch.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, friends of Radio Land. This is your friendly announcer, Vern Albright. Station KREJ is on the air. And don't forget, K-R-E-J, spelled backwards, is jerk. And now to start your day off right, here are the Sunshine Wake-Up Kids. Full of fun, frolic, vim, and vigor. Oh, let's go, kiddies.
Here we are, the Sunshine Kids, and happy to be back. When it comes to spreading fun, we sure have got the knack. We'll leave you rolling in the aisles until you're black and blue.
We'll say, what's cooking?
Murder, Jack, and then
we'll say, what's new?
It's time to start another day, you nieces and you aunties.
So, sisters, get your nighties off.
And climb into your panties.
Yeah.
Yes, we are the Sunshine Kids. We're glad to be with you. And when it comes to spreading joy, that's what we like to do. With a sunny smile.
Oh, thank you, Sunshine. Oh, thank you, Sunshine Kids. Friends, the Sunshine Kids come to you through the courtesy of DDP, the great new insecticide. Now listen, are there bugs in your rugs? Are there roaches in your front porches? Is there a louse in your house? Is there a rat in your flat? Are there ants in your pantry? Oh, then call on DDP, the great new insecticide.
Just one squirt and they hit the dirt.
Just one drop and they blow their top.
Rid your house of insects with DDP. It drives bugs, bugs.
Howdy, howdy. Friends, this is your friendly friend, Margie the disc jockey. We have some mighty fine music coming up, but first, a word from one of our sponsors, Moe's Barbershop. You men who are getting bald, drop into Moe's Barbershop for a shampoo and a Vigoro massage. Vigoro will make your hair sprout like grass.
And in 2 weeks, come back to Moe and have it mowed.
And now for the music. But friends, before we play our first number, here's a word from another sponsor, Ludwig Schimmelberg's Bakery. So remember, you lovers of good music and pumpernickel, visit Schimmelberg, Ludwig Schimmelberg the baker. Remember the spelling, B-A-K-E-R. For a real goodie, try Schimmelberg plain cake, 66 cents.
Upside down cake, 99 cents.
Every day at this time, the makers of eight-way stretch girdles bring you the soul-searching story of Men in White, a drama of life within the walls of a large city hospital, the story of young Dr. Magoon. In just a moment, we'll meet the doctor. But first, say, ladies, are you bustle-bound? Do you have an hourglass figure with all the sand in the wrong end? When fellas see you in slacks, do they make cracks? Are you still fighting the battle of the bulls? Then you ought to try the dandy eight-way stretch girdle. It stretches up, down, in, out, to, fro, and back and forth. So if your figure is drastic, try our elastic. Our girdles come in four sizes. Small, medium, large, and... Oh, brother. Don't put off buying one. You know how those things creep up on you. And now for our story. Yesterday, you'll remember, Dr. Magoon was ordered to call surgery. So, soft and clear, his voice floated along the corridor of Things in General Hospital.
Surgery!
This undue disturbance resulted in a $5,000 fine for the doctor. So he decided that from now on, surgery can call itself. Today, we find him with a head nurse.
Oh. So you're the head nurse, eh?
Yes, doctor.
Well, go nurse somebody's head. Like the lady in room 314. She's suffering from trouble of the eardrum.
Eardrum?
Yes, yes. Here's her room. Good morning, madam. Now I'll take a look at that eardrum. Yes, sir. That ear has a pretty loud drum.
Poor woman. What a terrible accident had happened to her ear. Jean Krupa had fallen in. Will she survive the operation? Listen again tomorrow to young Dr. Magoon.
Good afternoon, ladies. We bring you now Mama Florence and her cooking program.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Friends, this is Mama Florence with a brand new cooking recipe. As you know, I'm really a Swedish cook. I'm what they call a smorgasbord. But today, ladies, I've given you an Italian recipe. Chicken cacciatore covered with a chocolate milkshake. Ask for it the next time you visit the smartest night spot. The first thing to do, ladies, is take 5 pounds of stale bread, then throw it out. If there's anything that clutters up a kitchen, it's stale bread. Now take a chicken. Add a pinch of milk and a cup of salt. No, I must have that wrong. No. Oh, of course, of course. Take 2 pinches of milk and 2 cups of salt. Now, start chasing the chicken. They forgot to kill him, didn't they?
Omaji, Freddy, Mrs. Odette, I've called this meeting to order for one purpose, to remind you that we've been on the air for exactly a week. Now, surely our broadcasting has won us many friends among the local merchants by now.
In other words, Dad, now's the time to start getting paid advertising.
Exactly. So this afternoon, I want you all to drop in on the local business houses and get us some sponsors. I'll start out with Harris, the jeweler. Freddy, you go see Schimmelberg, the baker. And then the rest of us will visit these other people on this list. Mr. Harris?
Yes?
I'm Vern Albright. I'm sure you hear me broadcast daily.
I do. Mr. Albright, when I first heard you, I thought my radio was on the bum.
Uh-huh. And now?
Now I find out the bum's on the radio.
Mr. Schimmelberg?
Yeah?
I'm Freddie Wilson. You hear me on the radio, don't you?
No, I don't. Your program comes on during my bedtime.
But my program comes on during the daytime.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Whenever you are on, I fall asleep.
They won't buy advertising.
They hate us. They say that they never heard such crazy programs.
Yeah. Let's get a new kind of program. Come on, think.
Well, what we need is a program that appeals to everybody. And I think I've got it. Problems.
Problems?
Sure, everybody has problems. We'll have a board of experts to solve people's problems. Help people who are in trouble.
Let them help us. We're in more trouble than anybody.
Look, don't you get it? We'll be the board of experts.
But how can we advise people?
Simple. We'll just use plain horse sense.
Well, okay, but how can we use horse sense when we're going to the dogs?
Dad, I can hardly believe it. Our program of human relations has been on the air only a week, and the whole town is crazy about it.
Yeah, the sponsors are fighting to buy time on it. Hello?
Hello, Albright. This is Sam Stanton.
Who?
Sam Stanton. You remember, you said you were going to try to find a good investment for me.
Oh. Oh, yes, yes. I'm sorry, Mrs. Stanton. I haven't found anything yet. I've been busy with problems of my own.
Dad, hurry. We're almost ready to go on the air.
Oh, I've got to go now, Mrs. Stanton. But keep in touch with me.
Stand by, everybody. Here I go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Station KREJ presents the Court of Human Relations. Meet our panel of experts, the distinguished British professor, Vernon T. Albright, M.A., LLB, Ph.D., former Dean of Psychology, Oxford University.
Pip, pip, cheerio. Cheerio and all that sort of rot.
The famous French director of the Paris Institute of Family Problems, Mademoiselle Margie.
Oh, bonjour. I am so glad you are in trouble, so we could help you.
And the world-renowned Dr. Florence Odette, director of the Alaska Family Foundation for Eskimos.
Love.
Our first guest today is Mr. Ludwig Schimmelberg, You have something to tell the panel, Mr. Schimmelberg?
Mademoiselle Margie.
Ah, Monsieur Schimmelberg. Back so soon? You took our advice?
Yeah, I did. And Edward, my wife came back to me.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah, that's what you think. I'm now suing you for $20,000.
But why?
Yeah, I found out I was happier when she was gone. You and your stupid advice. Why didn't you keep your big mouth shut?
But Mr. Schimmelberg...
Oh, you're going to hear from my lawyer.
$20,000. Oh, Margie, this advice program was all your idea. And look at the trouble it's caused us.
Mr. Albright, there's a Mr. Stanton to see you.
There certainly is, Albright, you old fox. You've got just the investment I've been looking for, this radio station.
You want to buy it?
Why, it's a potential gold mine. I'll give you $21,000 for it, spot cash.
Sold.
Dad, this gets us off the hook with that $20,000 lawsuit.
And $1,000 left over.
Yeah, but we've had operating expenses of $990.22 since we took this station over.
Which leaves me a grand profit of $9.78. And you said I couldn't succeed in business.
Oh! Margie?
Yes, Dad?
Why is that kid so half-baked?
His father couldn't keep up the payments on the incubator.
My Little Margie is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Little Margie, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 31st, 1955 on CBS. Bringing to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.